Der RT Deutsch Podcast, das Interview.
Mr. Kennedy, you wear a very great and famous name, so there's no need to introduce yourself. But in fact, besides the people who are protesting here, in Germany, lots of people don't really know what you are doing. So please, could you explain what exactly are you doing? What are you famous for besides your name?
Well, I'm an attorney, and I work on environmental issues, and I work also on medical freedom issues and children's health. I run the premier toxics exposure to children advocacy group in the country to reduce injury and chronic disease to children. Today I'm here because Germany today is the front line. Just my uncle came here almost 60 years ago and did his Nine Berliner speech, and at that time Berlin was the front line against totalitarianism, and today the same thing is happening. We are, because governments love pandemics the same reason they love war, because it gives them the capacity to impose authoritarian controls on populations. And we're seeing many, many controls that don't make sense to people, that don't have the support of science. And we're seeing policies that are passed that where there's no risk assessment done. If you save 1,000 people or 100,000 from coronavirus, but you kill 100,000 or a million from unemployment, from isolation, from food shortages, from the obliteration of the middle class, then what good is that? We need government policies that actually reflect the best for our democracies and that respect democracy and that respect our humanity, and we're not getting that today.
What is it with you and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? You know, I read an article, and I see that you're really an opponent of this foundation. And what is it doing around the world? The deeds of this foundation, of Bill and Melinda Gates.
The problem with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation really is an abuse of power. They've been able to gain control of the World Health Organizations, the WHO, the CEPI, the Gavi. And also through relationships with Anthony Fauci, with the HHS. And you have a billionaire who has no medical training, who is dictating policy, and he has a belief that human health comes from technology, that the only way to stay healthy is in a syringe. And because of that, he has changed WHO policies to take money and resources away from the traditional preoccupations, which were nutrition, sanitation, hygiene, development, and change all the money into vaccines, which we know, when you look at the science, are doing far more harm than good. He's also got a preoccupation with GMO crops and with chemical fertilizers. And in Africa, for example, his policies are designed to move Africans away from traditional agriculture, that is, multiple crops, to cash crops like corn, GMO agriculture, and chemical agriculture. People are eating oil, essentially, and it's not been good for the African economy, and it has aggravated hunger, starvation, and poverty across the continent.
I wanted to return to vaccination. You're not against vaccination in general, as far as I know.
No, I'm not anti-vaccine. I want safe vaccines. I want robust science, and I want regulators who are free from financial entanglements with the vaccine industry. We need that because a lot of the vaccine programs across the world now are very corrupted, and as a result of that, vaccines are not safety tested. Every other medicine has to be safety tested against a placebo. Of the 72 vaccines now that are mandatory in the United States, not one has ever been safety tested against a placebo.
Why, how can that be? Why is it?
You know what? It's an artifact of CDC's legacy as the Public Health Service, which was the old agency, it was the predecessor agency, and it was a quasi-military agency.
And the you said military.
That's why people at CDC have military ranks, like Surgeon General, and they wear uniforms. And the vaccine program was launched as a national security defense against biological attacks on our country. So they were worried if the Russians attacked, and I know you would never have done this, but if they attacked us with anthrax or some other biological agent, they wanted to be able to formulate and deploy a vaccine very quickly to 200 million American civilians with no regulatory impediments. And if they call it a medicine, you have to do double-blind placebo testing. That takes 5 years. So they said, we'll call it something else, and we'll make it so you don't have to test it. And unfortunately, when all the new vaccines came in after 1986, in 1986, we told the vaccine industry there is no more liability. So if you hurt somebody with your vaccine, nobody can sue you. All of a sudden, there was a gold rush to put more vaccines onto the schedule because they became very, very profitable. And none of those vaccines were ever safety tested. They took advantage of that old military loophole.
Wow, that's very interesting. I didn't know that. So
people don't know it. You know why people don't know it? Because there's censorship. Oh, I'm not allowed to talk about that on American TV. And if you put it on the social media, they'll censor you. If people knew the truth, you know, people would have a lot of questions about what we're giving to our children.
Did you try to talk about it on RT America?
On RT America? Yeah, I do talk about it on RT America. It's the only station that lets me talk about it. It's very paradoxical because... that's true. Yeah, RT America is the only place that we can talk about these many of these subjects.
So don't you think it's strange that Russian TV looks like the most free, especially
very,
in the United
very
States?
Very ironic to Americans. Most Americans would be stunned by that, but it is true, unfortunately. So the U.S. TV is owned by the pharmaceutical companies.
The TV is owned by the pharmaceutical
companies? What happened is we passed a law in 1997 that for the first time made it legal for pharmaceutical companies to advertise prescription drugs on TV. There's only two countries in the world that allow that. One is New Zealand and the other is the United States. And that's why you know, Americans consume more drugs and more expensive drugs, higher expense than any country in the world, and we have the worst health outcomes. Pharmaceutical drugs are now the number three killer in the United States after heart attacks and cancer. But nobody talks about it, because if you look at the evening news in the United States, out of 22 advertisements on a typical news show, 17 of them are pharmaceutical. And so they're dictating content. Anderson Cooper is not allowed to criticize a pharmaceutical company. And that's why we had the opioid epidemic and, you know, why we have these epidemics now of chronic disease. Oh, unfortunately, we have to go to Russia, to Russian TV to tell the truth.
President Trump wanted to bring an end to these opioid epidemics. Do you think he will succeed?
Well, he originally said that he was going to do that, but then he took a lot of money from the pharmaceutical industry, and his appointments have all been pharmaceutical lobbyists and insiders. So, no, I don't think so, but I'd be happy if he did.
Well, it doesn't look like when you say they are insiders. Well, thank you for the interview, and good luck in Berlin.
Thank you.
Mr. Kennedy, can I ask you one question? What do you think about Julian Assange and Edward Snowden?
Das war der RT Deutsch Podcast.